Please open in your Bibles this morning to the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. I want to speak on the need of loving the truth. The need of loving the truth before and after salvation. What I pray that you receive today, you may not feel a real big need for it today. But down the road, you will, I hope, see the need for this message. The need of loving the truth before and after salvation. Before we read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, I just want to bring to our attention something that Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said in St. John 16, verse 13, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He shall show you things to come." But Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. Not only is the Holy Spirit true, but also the Word of God is true. In St. John chapter 17 and verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So know this, that the Holy Spirit is true, and the Word of God is true. And to ask yourself, do I love the truth? The need to love the truth. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. I want us to look at three passages and see that Paul is elevating truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:10, Paul says, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." Paul is saying that there's some people that are going to perish. And the reason they're going to perish is because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Also, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, he goes on and he says that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." I want you to notice that these three times truth is emphasized. One is loving the truth before you get to the truth. That's because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You must have a love for the truth so that when the truth comes, you'll attach yourself to it. So I hope you will have a love for the truth, whatever that might be, before you enter into any, whatever it is. We don't know the problems and the things that we're going to have happen to us, but I hope that going into life, you have within you a desire and a love for the truth. And then, so that when you are there in the presence of truth, because of your love for it, you will obtain it, hold on to it. And then after you have held on to the truth, you still have a love for the truth. Loving the truth before, loving the truth during, and loving the truth after. Now, loving the truth can speak of having an attitude of loving the truth before you're presented with the truth. There are going to be situations that you have no idea that are going to come up. But when they do come up, I pray that you have, going into it, a love of the truth, because that will be your salvation. And I hope to explain why. So that when you are there in the middle of it, there's an attitude within you that says, I want the truth, I need the truth here. And now, after you've gone through that thing, I hope there's still within you an attitude in your heart that says, I want the truth. I need the truth. Why is that important? Because it is the very thing that brought salvation to the Apostle Paul. Let's take a look at Paul, an apostle, who is the one writing this in 2 Thessalonians, on him expressing that there are going to be people that are going to be lost, and he says they're going to be deceived with unrighteousness, and they're going to perish. And he says, why? Because they received not the love of the truth. So here is Paul the apostle recognizing the need to love the truth. Now, we know that Paul said in other writings that he always kept a good conscience before God and man, and that it was his love for the truth. Paul always wanted the truth. Wherever it may lead him, I want the truth. How many know that if you're on a jury and you're picked to be a juror, you are given instructions to lay aside any prejudices, etc., but let each side present their case, and you try to determine what is true. And truth must be most important in making the decision on guilty or innocent. So I want you to see that here is Paul the apostle, and that he writes because his apostleship was brought into question after he came to the Lord, and understandably so. He had been persecuting Christians. He had been taking them off to be persecuted. He was there at the persecution and the stoning of Stephen, and he consented to it. Now, why is that? It's because Paul loved the truth. You say, how in the world did he love the truth? Paul says when he did come to the Lord, when people looked at him rather and weren't totally believing that he had had a real conversion, he writes in some of the epistles, he says, look, I was born of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew. And he says, concerning the law, when I say law, and when Paul says law, he's referring to the scriptures. He's referring to the law that God gave Moses with the Ten Commandments and all the other things found in Leviticus, etc., that God gave to Moses for Israel to live by. And Paul says that I had more zeal before my conversion. I had so much zeal to obey that law. It didn't matter where that law took me, and I believed that law was true, and I obeyed it to the, I had more zeal. And then he said in another place concerning the law, that is the Ten Commandments and the law that God gave Moses, he said, I was blameless. Now, he's not trying to say he never, ever, ever messed up. He's just saying that, listen, I meticulously strove to obey that law. It was because it was the truth, and God's word is true. But then, why did Paul persecute Christians? And to answer that, if you'll remember, Paul was a Pharisee. That means he not only was a Jew who the law had been given to, but he was a Pharisee, one that taught the law and explained it to people. Now please turn to St. John, the 5th chapter. We're going to see, here is Jesus, and in St. John chapter 5, and starting at verse 1, and I'm not going to read it all, it says in St. John 5, 1, after this there was a feast of the Jews. Now, Jews, remember, they had been given the law. They had been given the Ten Commandments. They had been given all those writings in Leviticus on what to do and what not to do, what to eat, what not to eat, what to do on the Sabbath, what not to do on the Sabbath, what to do with the tabernacle, who's to work on the tabernacle, who's not to work on the tabernacle. And there were just many, many things when it says law. And that law, we know, was given to Moses. I'm smiling, so I need a smile back. Thank you. Now, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Jesus is a Jew. The Jews, they believe in the law. They're thankful that God chose them and gave them the law. What advantage then doth a Jew have? One of them is chiefly, unto them was the law given. Now, if you'll take a look at verse 38, Jesus shows up at this gathering of where Jews are. And after all, he is a Jew. And Jesus says to those that were there at this gathering, in verse 38, Jesus speaks at these Jews as they've gathered at this feast. And Jesus said to these people, and you have not his word abiding in you, from whom he hath sent him ye believe not. Jesus is telling the Jews who are at this feast, which was an important time for Jews to gather, he dares to say to them, you don't have the word in you. And you could almost hear the thinking, what do you mean we don't have the word in us? We know the word. We can quote you the word, etc. And then Jesus said something very interesting, verse 39. He says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Now, can you imagine being a Jew or being a Pharisee within this gathering of the feast and this man say that I don't have the word and that I should search the scriptures? What do you mean I should search the scriptures? I know the scriptures. But notice exactly what Jesus said. He is saying, you think that by the scriptures themselves and what they command us to do and tell us to do, you think you have eternal life because of that. And he's saying, no, you don't have eternal life because you are trying to obey that which is written, because all of the scriptures are talking about me. And so there was this view that the Jews had that if you take this law that was given Moses, the scriptures, and if you obey them, and do what it says, you have eternal life. That's what Jesus said. He said, that's what you're thinking. You're wrong. He says, those scriptures are talking about me. And he said, and you won't come to me because that's where you're going to get eternal life. You're not going to get eternal life from obeying the law. And so there's these two views. One is what Jesus is saying. You think that in the scriptures you have eternal life. No. They are they which speak of me. Now, Paul the Apostle was not in this crowd and among these Jews at this time. Where he was, we don't know. But Paul believed exactly what Jesus is saying these Jews believed, and the Pharisees were teaching them. Now, Paul, as I said, when his discipleship or his conversion was brought into question, he is teaching again exactly what Jesus taught, that you're not saved by keeping the law. You're not saved by meticulously obeying what it says. And now, Paul didn't know that. Paul did study the scriptures. He searched them. But there was a point in Paul's life that he agreed with this crowd that Jesus is identifying. And he had a love for the truth. And he thought he was doing the truth. He really believed that eternal life and getting to live in heaven was by obeying what Moses wrote. And so let's kind of remember now what happened. How did Paul get converted? Now here Paul believes this. He reads his Bible. He reads his Old Testament. He knows it well. And one day Paul on the road to Damascus, what is he doing? He's persecuting Christians. Why is he persecuting Christians? Paul, how do you justify persecuting Christians? Well, because they're not obeying the law of Moses. And in the law of Moses, it says you're to do this and to do that. And they're not doing it. And Paul, on his he thinks he's right. He's sincere. That's why he says, I had a good conscience before God and man. It wasn't that he was persecuting Christians because he knew he was doing wrong. He thought he was doing right. Now, Paul still, remember, Paul, he loves the truth. And it was because he loved the truth that salvation came to him. Because Paul is knocked down. He's knocked off his horse on the ground. Just like that. And he hears a voice. He's having a vision. And the vision and the voice said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now, I want you to see something very important here. God knew that if he was to send someone to Paul and try to show him Christ in the scriptures, Paul probably wouldn't have listened. He was convinced that eternal life was in obeying that law. And so God, who is the greatest soul winner there ever was, he knocks him down, he gives him a vision, and the vision doesn't even quote the Bible. Because had he quoted the Bible, Paul probably would have argued with God about the Bible. Because he believes that salvation is in keeping the law. But now Paul has a vision. And remember when I read that Jesus said the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he's the Spirit of truth and he will guide you in truth. And the Holy Spirit cannot lie. And this is the Holy Spirit giving Paul this vision. And Paul, because he knows this vision is real, there's no doubt about it. He says, Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, of whom thou persecutest. And because Paul loved the truth, when you have something that's from God, and that's for God to make it so real where you know it's real and you know when you're nowhere, Paul had to say, then that means I've been wrong. Thank God Paul loved the truth enough that it's not who's right or wrong, it's what does the truth say. And because Paul loved the truth, that opened the door for his salvation. And Paul says, knowing that what the Holy Spirit is showing him. And let me just say, for those that always say, be careful of visions, this is always the Word of God. The Holy Spirit, when it is the Holy Spirit, will never go against the Word. It never will. They always agree. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, the Spirit is truth, and He will guide you in truth. And Jesus said, within the next chapter, that the Word of God is true. But there is much out there that says, you better just go by the Word of God and forget all that other stuff. No, I believe the other stuff. It's real. And it will agree with God. And what God was telling Paul was not against the Scriptures. What God was showing Paul in the vision agreed with Scriptures, but Paul didn't know it. But because he had a love for the truth, and that's what I'm asking you, do you have a love for the truth? And because Paul had a love for the truth, then if it's true, and he knew it was, then Paul said, what wilt thou have me to do? And you see, his conversion was because Paul loved the truth. And I want to ask you, do you love the truth? When the truth is presented to you, whether you like it or not, will you take it and embrace it? And let's look at the words Jesus spoke describing the Jews. Back again to John 5:18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. I could just see the Jews are having their feast. This is their feast. This is their party. And Jesus dares to show up and rain on their party. How dare him? But the question is what he's saying is true? Is what he's saying is true? Not only did Jesus at their party, and I could just see them, listen, you want to preach that stuff? You go preach it somewhere else. This is our feast. That's amen. But Jesus, he's the truth. How many know he's the way and the truth and the light? And so Jesus, he speaks to them. But not only did Jesus at their feast say something that was upsetting to them and offending them, he heals a man on the Sabbath day. Jesus knew that they didn't believe that things should take place on the Sabbath day. He knew that they didn't believe that. He knew they were wrong. But he heals a man on the Sabbath day. And now they're really upset. And not only are they upset that he would dare to heal on the Sabbath day, the man ended up in the temple, their synagogue, their church. And Jesus shows up in their church. It's bad enough to show up at their feast. It's bad enough to heal on the Sabbath. But my Lord, here you show up in our synagogue. This is our church. And Jesus talks to the man in the synagogue, and they wanted to kill him because of what he was doing. Again, they're of the thinking, and that's why Jesus said, you think you have eternal life, but no, you don't. Eternal life is going to come through me. Now, as I mentioned earlier in Sunday school, the law, when it was given to Moses. Now, think this through with me, please. These Jews, as Jesus said, you think that in the Scriptures you have eternal life. When were they given the law? If you follow their logic through, it falls apart. because the law was not given until Moses came around. Remember? Moses was given the law. Moses was after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And therefore, if eternal life only comes through the scriptures or through the law of Moses, then how did you get saved before the law was given? Are you with me? And that's why that teaching is erroneous. But they believed it. And I'm not getting to the reasons why you would believe it. We break that down another day. But the truth is that you didn't get eternal life through obeying the scriptures or obeying the law of Moses. Well, how did you get eternal life? It was always through faith. It was always through Jesus. He said, "They are they which speak of me." How many know the ark that Noah got into spoke of him? How many know that the tabernacle that was given spoke of him? How many know that everything in the tabernacle spoke of him? How many know that Ezekiel saw the wheel and the mill of wheel spoke of him? How many know that Daniel in the lion's den who shut the mouth, it spoke of him? How many know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the fourth man in the fire, spoke of him? And Jesus is saying salvation does not come, eternal life does not come by the law, the scriptures. It was never intended to give you eternal life. It always is coming through me. That's why in St. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's why we preach salvation is not of works or your goodness, whether it be by the law or by your conscience before the law was given. Salvation is faith in the work that Jesus did on the cross. And I accept what he did on the cross and as my sacrifice, and I put my faith that he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to watch. And so Jesus is saying, "I am the one." In fact, if you'll take a look at St. John 1:9. Now remember in St. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, I am the truth, and the life." That or eternity. You get eternal life. "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now St. John, the gospel, starts with, and I'm preaching this morning about, do you love the truth? And we'll get to why this is important. Had Paul not loved the truth, he would not have gotten saved, but because he wanted the truth. And St. John 1:9, or the Gospel of John, it talks about Jesus coming into the world. It says, "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." And St. John 1:14 says, "And the Word," that is Jesus, that is the scriptures, "was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus is the way and the truth. He's full of grace and truth. So here are two views. And this is why they wanted to kill Jesus. Because one view said eternal life is how good you are in obeying the law. And people think that today in a similar way. "Well, I'm good enough to go to heaven. And, you know, I'm better than so-and-so. But I think I've lived a good life." That's not what gets you to heaven. It's your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did and surrendering to him. And so here are two views. The one is of works. And the other is through Jesus and faith in him. So now let's fast forward. The Jews continue to persecute Jesus. In fact, the Bible even says in St. John, that first chapter, he came unto his own, the Jews, and his own received him not. But to many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now Saul, let's go back to Saul, who now believes this vision. "I want the truth. And yes, nobody will ever tell me this experience I'm having is not of God. And Saul, because he wants the truth, says, what do you want me to do? And Paul realized that he had been wrong. And there's one thing that Paul had going for him that salvaged him. He loved the truth. He wanted the truth. Even when he was wrong, at least he thought it was the truth. And he loved it. And now he realizes he's wrong. And I want to ask you, when you realize you're wrong, do you love the truth enough? God knew Paul loved the truth. And there's a lot of Muslims today that are getting saved by the same way Paul is, having visions overseas that they know that, because they love the truth. And it was Paul's love for the truth that brought him to receive the truth. And let me just kind of say, and I don't mean this in a dogmatic way, but there's basically two kinds of people in this world. There are those who love the truth and those who don't love the truth. We're living in the last days. And it's God's will, as a little spinoff from last Sunday, 1 Timothy 2:4, the scripture says, who will have all men. It sounds like a future rooster that might enter into Bob Gardner's pen. But he's got chickens. I can't get my mind off them chickens. I got to get back to the gospel here. When I was worshiping God, I saw them chickens. I said, Lord, help me, help me. I got to get back and worship the Lord. Two kinds of people, those that love the truth and those that don't love the truth. We're living in the last days, and it's God's will that 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. But you will not come to the knowledge of the truth if you do not have a love for the truth. So I want to ask you, do you have a love for the truth? Because we are living in the last days, and here's what the last days, the Bible said, is going on. Here's the attitudes that are out there. 2 Peter chapter 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. What does it mean to walk after your own lust? Or he's referring to the lust of the flesh. It means that whatever your flesh desires to do, do it. And notice it's referring to what your flesh desires to do, walking after their own lust. To understand what it means to walk after one's own lust, Paul teaches in Romans chapter 7. And his name was Saul, now it's Paul, and Paul still loves the truth. That's what made him such a great apostle, was his love for the truth. And Paul teaches, after his conversion, he recognizes a battle that is taking place in a believer's life. And Paul says, when I'm tempted to do things I know from my heart are wrong, he says, I do them. He said, I'm doing things that I hate. Anybody here ever get upset at yourself because you sometimes do what you don't want to do, but you did it? Come on, stay in the truth with me. And Paul is explaining what's going on. And then Paul said in Romans 7:17, after examining this battle, he said, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I wonder how that would sound for a defense lawyer. Talk about somebody who's just been up on he's being charged for murder, and I'm waiting for some knucklehead lawyer to get up and say, jury, it wasn't him. It was the sin in him that did it. Therefore, don't hold him responsible. Hold the sin in him responsible. Yeah, try how that one work out. And Paul says, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Romans 7:18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. You see, each believer has flesh, and that flesh can have desires. It can have lust. And whatever that sinful flesh desires, we're living in a day where they do it without any regard of whether it's right or wrong. One says, whatever I desire, whatever I want, I'm going to do it. Doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. I'm just going to walk after my own lust. And what is lust? It is desire that is a wrong desire. It's a want that is wrong. It's a desire of something that's off limits. And when you're desiring and walking after your own lust, wrongful lust, it's been said, and we make fun of this, and rightfully so, the world says, if it feels good, do it. And that's how a lot of people are living today. It's not a matter if it's right or wrong. If it's just, if I want that cigar in that store, I'll take it. And if you come up and try to take that cigar from me, Mr. Owner, I'm going to punch you. It's because that's what I want. We've seen this on the news. But once you come to Christ, who is the truth, I want to ask you, do you still have a love for the truth? Because you must not only have a love for the truth to come to Christ, now that you have come to Christ, you must maintain your love for the truth. And so what about believers? Can they also walk in sin or commit sin? Yes. Against the truth? Yes. But if you love the truth, you'll acknowledge what you did was wrong and say, God, forgive me. Because you love the truth. And so 2 Timothy 2:25, and I'll wrap this up, says, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. And he says that peradventure will give them repentance to acknowledging of the truth. Now, John 3:16, we quote that, and rightfully so. But please read on what is after John 3:16, that famous scripture that says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but everlasting life. In verse 21, five verses later, it says, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Meaning that I know if I come to Christ, I'm going to have to admit I've been wrong. But if I love the truth, I'll do it. I remember when I answered an altar call at 14 years of age. I wanted the truth. And I know I'm wrong. You know why backsliding takes place in people? Because someone quits loving the truth. When you quit loving the truth, you're opening the door up for great problems. If what you're doing is wrong as a Christian, the only safeguard you have is that you love the truth. Because then if you love the truth, when you're confronted with where you've been wrong, because you love the truth, I'll repent. I want the truth. I was wrong. Dr. Charles Price, those books that I gave to Mario Murillo, was a great evangelist, healing evangelist in the Northwest in the 30s, greatly used of God. But he gave out a book, and in that book he was writing, and he was very gifted in his evangelism, but he was writing who the Antichrist was. And he had it miscellaneous. Well, obviously, when after time it found out he was wrong. And Dr. Charles Price went to Dr. Harms, who was a friend of mine. I wasn't alive at the time, but he went into his office and he said, oh, he was weeping that I was so wrong. Thank God he loved the truth enough to admit it. How many know any of us can be wrong? But if you don't love the truth, you won't admit when you're wrong. Now, many people don't want to believe in absolute, that this is right and this is wrong, and they want to have no rules. And the Bible declares that these kind of people walk after their own lust, their own will. But it was Paul's love for the truth that allowed salvation to come. It was Paul's love for the truth that he realized, I was wrong, and I want the truth. I have to be careful that my lust, that my wrongs, and my wrongful desires and my cravings do not determine what is true. Let me say that again. I have to be careful that my flesh and my fallen nature does not determine what is true. Remember, the works of the flesh are these, and one of them, the works of the flesh, is heresies. And if I am not willing to humble myself and I want what I want, and I'll create a doctrine to justify it. Best thing to do when you're wrong is admit you're wrong. Now, I'm not saying that because God wants to condemn you. He wants to give you life. But He gives you that life because you wanted the truth and you came to the truth, and you must maintain your desire for the truth. Because what ultimately, and let me close with this, my pastor had about, at one time, 10 eager boys to preach the gospel. We were raring to go. He let us preach on Tuesday night. And afterwards, people would often come up to the pastor, Brother Mack, and say, Brother Mack, what did you think of so-and-so's preaching? And Brother Mack was a wise old boy. If he's in heaven right now, I'd say, don't say I was old. Okay, he was a wise young preacher. Man, he was 52, and I thought that was old when I was 19. Now I'm 64. Boy, where's that put me? I want the truth. Brother Mack, what'd you think of so-and-so's preaching? You know what he would say? It was true. It was Bible. What a great answer. Because to him, what determined whether the sermon was good was it true? Not was it, did he have a great charisma? Did he have a great delivery? Did he wow the crowd? Did he make the people happy or whatever? No. Is it true? That's what he emphasized that should be top of the list. And may we have a love for the truth, and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is just the beginning. But may I cultivate and keep a love for the truth after salvation. That means when I come to church, this is your pastor, when you come to church, bring with you an attitude of loving the truth. When you come to truth and you're open and you open your Bible, don't let this be your number one thing. Don't ask yourself, do I like the sermon? Does it make me feel good? Do I like the pastor in what he's saying? Yeah, I like it because what he's saying to do, I'm already doing. The things he says not to do, I'm not doing them, so I like it. No. Ask yourself something more important than that. And that is this. Is what is he preaching true? Is what he is preaching true? Timothy, preach the word. And he went on to say, rightly dividing the word of truth. Is it true? And if you love the truth, you'll love the preaching. And you'll love even hard preaching. Timothy was told by Paul to preach the word in season, out of season. You know, there are, preach the word. Sometimes certain subjects are in season, sometimes they're out of season. Just like clothes. How many know sometimes fat ties are in and sometimes skinny ties are in? But with God, His word is always in season. And it's always right to preach it. I remember I loved hymnals when I was first saved, and then there went through a time in the church that hymnals were not in season. They weren't popular. But I I kept singing the hymnals. Why did you do that? Because they were true. They had truth in them. And these ditty bitty choruses, and they're fine. I loved them too. But some preachers, some people make, they just want to do what's popular. That should not be our motivating thing. It should be what is true. I love the hymnals because they're true. And I love preaching, and it should be, is it true? And so preach the word, and would you stand? And Debbie, if you don't come now, the truth is I may go on for a while. So come now. I'm talking about loving the truth. People say, well, you know, the pastor's kind of rough. Is it true? Is it true? Listen, people that love God love rough preaching. You don't have a problem with rough preaching. You have a problem with the truth. Are you listening to me? A lot of people don't have a problem with rough preaching. They have a problem with the truth. If it's spoken in love and etc. You know, I'm going to brag on myself twice. One's the hymnals. The other is my wife works, so I try to do dishes. And I'll put those dishes in. The Parsonage has a dishwasher. But I've learned that some dishes don't get clean just by putting them in the dishwasher. Sometimes that food gets crusted on there. And you know what gets it off? Here's what some preachers do. They run to the shower. How many know in the shower you got those little spoofu sponges that women use? If I get one of them spoofu sponges and bring it and wash that dish, it's not going to clean it. How many know sometimes the preacher's got to get the steel wool out? And I rub that dish and I get it off enough, and now I put in the dishwasher and it'll do it. And there are spoofu churches. There are spoofu churches. And we don't want a church that's just a steel wool church. No. We want all of the Bible. We want it all, but I want it true, true, true. That's what should determine whether a sermon is good or not. Is it true? Is it in love? Father, thank you for your word. And oh God, I just pray that we lean on the Holy Spirit, because He's true. He will not lie to us. And speaking of Him leading and guiding us, may I just say, I want to ask and give an altar call. If you're here and you've been having fear come over you, panic attacks of fear, and it almost paralyzes you for a little bit, I believe God wants to touch you today. But if you're here and you've been having episodes where fear has gripped you, and would you come? Nothing to be ashamed of, but I want you to come. I want to pray with you and ask God to help you. If you've been having there's one thing is worry, but there's another thing that it's been really paralyzing, and you have moments where, oh God, help me. Would you come forward? Let me pray with you and ask God to minister to you. Blessed Jesus. Hallelujah. Nobody here, huh? What does that mean? God didn't tell me? No. I believe He did. Please come. If you've been having... Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How many know that our church needs to be a church that stands for the truth? In love, but the truth. That's what should be. Is it true? Is it true? That's what and why Paul got saved, because of his love for the truth. And what will keep you is your love for the truth. Could we come as a congregation? I still believe that there's somebody that, and I don't know who. to Jesus. When somebody comes to you and in love says you're doing this wrong or that wrong, ask yourself, is it true? It'll be your salvation. You may not need this sermon today, but it's your love for the truth. Oh, God, help us to love the truth. And help me to love Jesus. But don't let me take His words apart from Jesus. Well, I love Jesus, but... well, then love what He said. It's true. Oh, God, I need You, Lord Jesus. I need You, Lord Jesus. I want the truth. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. We think we can have Jesus without His words and have freedom. No, it all comes together. Hallelujah. Let's pray one for another. Lord Jesus, we do love You. We do thank You one for another. Oh God, thank You for Jesus. Oh God, give us a love for You, Lord. Loving You is loving truth. And oh God, may our love for the truth be there, oh God. May we, Lord, love You with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and strength. Oh God, we humble ourselves before You. I humble myself before You, oh God. Lord, I pray for whoever it was that is having fear and having anxiety, that is where You would say, let not your heart be troubled. Oh God, give them peace, I pray. Thy word is peace and perfect mind who stayed on Thee. That's the truth. That's the truth. And may we contend for the faith, for the truth that was once delivered unto the saints. Oh God, let us not be deceived in ways that... oh God, hallelujah, we love You, Lord, we love You. I pray You bless one another. Oh God, touch us. Help us to love one another. That's the truth. Help us to forgive. That's the truth. Help us to seek You with all of our heart. That's the truth. Help us to be faithful. That's the truth. Oh God, give us a love for the truth. It's our salvation. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh God, have Your way, we pray. Have Your way, oh God, we pray. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Don't forget to come party at 2:00.